a lot of times our elders are busy, but they take the time when they're called upon to come and talk to our visitors, and that's why I say, why can't we get started?
Sure. All right. So Fred's going to introduce the, it's recording.
Okay.
So I have the recorder on, so it's working really good, but you might have to come closer to the table if you have things that you want to say.
Long introduction. The ram taring luku bikum dasin rojeko. Kananim kut padam falo lechu pitu te yellow finan pil ret yaxi nati. Ak parent selders group atu kut kanak tak luku piyut kuku kwang kuta nuna ni maris nami imak pil snini. Kwang kuta manna Atulak na pisuoyarak, pitik subsistence achtar kalugu tagram tamana kingan pifknaku. We also think about the commercial halibut fishery. Tamak pitik kluki achtar kalugu unak akut kanani kaluk patulik last 4 or 5 years kwan small group aluta puyuk taksuta piukut. Issue put qua makutwani konguta pisuk viput tanin tia luki pisukum of knaki hosu held it in case of held fishery isum to by cats am am from to love it inuki ya fakan luki tagam dilas kai pika tamatum ki isum after luku to perpanta Akum kalu tapa kanta, you know, there are we saying our biologists, our scientists, we have this information. Story to kanguta, tamakun ni takuta, akut ikai sutwani piu twani unnam local knowledge, elder knowledge, taman kwani tiu nirlanga twani taman apit kuku maipaku mandu kunatu. To kanam chichi your stories nishuki the end result is kalikamun siluki to ishu to bikharuki kani report taktika kalikalu.
Charlie, how are you?
Good. How about yourself? You need shit.
Queer.
Tarin lakwa.
Yeah.
Okay. To nayuk tagam I can find that maybe record out to prepare, but as the Hanwood QP and maybe your leadership position, Tamakun. Thank you.
My name is Albert Williams. I'm the NVM tribal president.
Charles, but I don't know who I am, but I'm here.
Daniel Olren, I'm city mayor.
Henry Ivanoff. I know the IRA Council.
Samuel Smith, IRA Council.
Dora John, I don't know what I'm here for, but I could listen.
And I'm Leslie McCartney, and I think Fred told you who I was. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And like Fred said, we're here because the Bering Sea Elders Group wants to incorporate traditional knowledge into to help make decisions about futures of fisheries and help safeguard the halibut stocks in your community. So that's why we're here. And Fred's been wanting, and his group's been wanting this to be done since 2007, and the American Natives Rights Funds is the ones who's funded this. So maybe we can just start off by talking, maybe every person saying if you're involved in, how you're involved in the fishery, or if you're still involved in the fishery. You were saying, Albert, that you're
I'm a commercial fisherman for Halbert, and it's been like maybe 10 years I've been fishing individually now for Aviora.
Okay. Are you still fishing?
Me?
Yeah.
He's a long-time fisherman.
Long-time fisherman?
I'm a long-time fisherman, and I know a little bit more of fishing, and I hold most parts of the fish. When you first started on halibut fishing, but they're now, they're all caught, and the fishermen are scattering, checking here and there to looking for a fish. But I don't fish anymore, though.
I'm a lifetime subsistence fisherman. Also, I think I'm a Albert commercial fisherman, but I haven't delivered yet. I tried to fish a couple of times, I didn't catch any, so. But I renew my Albert permit every year, and I'm still trying.
Henry?
Oh, I'm a fish eater myself. And anything like seal and from the land, and I used to fishing, herring fishing, halibut, and codfish, salmon, because I like those. I'm one of the fish eater anyway, so I tried to protect those things when I was also working. Try to work with those biologist people, just go with them, and the best way, I try to do it the best way, so. Anyway, I still love fish yet.
My name is Samuel. I'm retired Bristol Bay salmon fisherman, and I used to fish for herring fish here at Nunivakan, but it's not active no more. And I used to fish for a halibut around here, but I haven't done any fishing right now. But summertime I help my brother fish for salmon, dock salmon and fish camps. So.
You said there's no more herring?
There's
no commercial.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's all for now.
I don't do commercial fishing for halibut, but once in a while when my brothers ask me to go out with them, I go out, but I do subsistence fish for dock salmon and other fishes every year at the camp.
What kind of other fishes?
There's trouts and dock salmon and sometimes silvers. Mm. And sometimes flatfish, small flatfish.
Mm. Thank you. This reading is another question.
Yes.
Is for all species of fish that swim out in the ocean?
We can. We were going to focus on halibut, but I think it's important to talk about other species. But we can. But it's important to talk about other species too. Has it changed? Has the species changed?
What information you guys are trying to form here?
Fred, did Fred go over that? Did you say that?
Yeah.
Should I say it again?
You can come up to your Kwangkuta Saskuka Saskuk Suki Pesca Rabut. After Haruku Akutim good part of travel in Ganani, they do it in a Suki Pilamta. Tarin Rugam Stikat Kalikam Makutani Nasmish Naput, not Chief Nasmish Nazi Kalikami Tank Suki Pigun. You know, many times when you go to meetings, they'll bring out statistical information that Tamakun got to looking at their biologists, their scientists. And we're using the same format in this case. When we pick up Nuna put you put Hani Ikai Naksuki. Manga for Kwankuta Pichiara put 62 excitement to respect our, you know, hunting, fishing area Tamakut, but to as a team, you know. Some of you are experienced halibut fishers. You can, you know, relate to some of the changes that are Tamakut Jimilrit Hani Mulkluki Pit Nazi. You can tell that story. Like maybe 20, 30 years ago, you go right out here, you catch halibut. Can you do that today? You know, that type of information.
Leslie?
Yes,
I think what we need to understand here is you're also studying what effects there have been regarding all the marine mammals, like the walrus hunt, mm-hmm. the bearded seal, and what it's like today compared to 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
What kind of fishing effects has the trawl industry had regarding our Bering Sea resources?
Does that make sense?
When you guys are done with, from my understanding, a study group of five villages maybe,
mm-hmm.
All that will be compiled into one
report.
Centralized report. And then a report will be sent out to this community for the people to understand what that study came up with.
Right. And then people can use that, like Bering Sea elders can use that report just with the fishing to say, no, see, this is what we tell you has been happening for years and years.
Yeah. So it's not just fish that we're looking at, these guys are looking at. It's all the other marine mammals out there, walrus and other seal groups.
Does that answer your question? Good.
When I was a small kid, I was born 1935, and at Cape Bedlam, springtime, men used to go out by kayaks and they will fish for codfish. And they'll fill up their kayaks and bring them back, and that's part of their codfish. Same way with Nash Harbor people. When there used to be people at Nash Harbor, they used to fish for cartridge there, and they'll dry them on the rocks, and sun will dry them, and smells good down there, you know, drying cartridge.
That's what they used to do. They eat anything. From the ocean side, including the land, like those anemones, the best food for them. And what you call those, Coggles?
Mussels.
Mussels and anything they found from the beach. That's the springtime. Women mostly gathering food and all. And also understand that like they're talking about scraping the ocean, bottom of the ocean, and like those shrimps, small shrimps, if they don't bother them, they still could alive yet, but they kill lots of things. I seen them on TV once in a while, used to. They kill lots of things, anything that's eatable. And then when they don't want it, then they just dump it, and after they're dead. And
this is the which trawlers. Is not,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is not very good to even for anybody anyway, whoever the eatable, they kill them all. So. And so, eatable, it's good for us. I know that some white people, they like love it too. They really love it, even Japanese and all those people. Anybody, when they get used to it, they like it. Anything.
Mm-hmm. Is there any possible way to, we understand that falling, they catch any kind of fish, bottom fish, anything? Is there any way they could save those and give them away to needy people in Alaska? Mm-hmm. But they'll be dead and they'll throw them back in the ocean. How many will it be possible somewhere in the future? Growing up in my younger days, I remember we used to go down here in Cape Edland, in front of Cape Edland, and fill up boats with halibut. There's a point right down here.
Yeah.
Cape Edland is right here, just a little ways out.
And the Corey like Square right here. The Corey is right there. Right here.
And then there's a Cape Manning here, Cape Edland here. Let's go down a little ways from the point. We used to catch a lot of halibut. There's some still halibut chicks left. But you don't catch them that much anymore. For as I know, we're moving down south in order to catch bigger halibuts. Same with silver salmon. We used to get a lot of silver salmon in fall time, and they're disappearing. We hardly get silver salmon out there anymore.
Is there still as much cod as what Samuel was talking about? Is still the lots of cod?
Cod. We still catch cod, but I don't know about this coming year. Past
and
few couple of years, there's been
disappeared and came back again.
Okay.
Couple of years, there's been a lot of fish chum. But we're getting short on silvers for some reason.
The silverfish just aren't coming as far north anymore?
Coming up the bays, yeah.
Very few. Let me finish up his story.
Okay.
He didn't tell you. He just told you what there was a lot of codfish before, and he didn't know how we lost them. Back in what years when maybe Gatlin's caught all those codfish around the area here. Trawlers. He was gone, totally gone for a number of years, long time. Long, long time. And then started he starts showing up today, somewhere, 4 or 3 years, he starts showing up abundantly on southern side of the island, but still, they're not out here yet. They're on southern side and west side of the island, not here yet. Then maybe one or two or three or four here, but they never get that much yet. Those are coming back for sure. And along with the halibut, we maybe the fishermen caught those the most. When we start a commercial fish for halibut around this area in like maybe 4 years, the area was kind of cleaned out on the north side of the island here. And then they moved on the east side. They worked that out again for about the same time of year, and they wiped that out too. Very few left now. And further south, today they're on further south now, the fishermen. And they were doing pretty good their last couple of years on further side. And southwest side, they were still doing good. But then around the north side of the island here is caught. There, chicken halibuts mostly here now. It's a smaller fish, which is less than 32 inches, just been released. So hopefully, it'll come more, but then our companies, trawlers, we are trawlers, all of us here.
When did the Japanese?
And then the other trawlers, like Yellowfin Sole trawlers near the island here, that's those people that are mostly taking this species from the ocean. Or like around this area, like halibut caught, and along with a lot of yellowfin. Those trawlers are the ones that are wiping us out, helping on killing the fish. What we get, what the fishermen need to get, and what we eat for subsistence. These, like Daniel said, all these species that's been caught in a net, in trawl net, can be saved and given to the natives. If CDQ companies, I believe they're trying to work this out some way. CDQ companies are trying, some might not, to save what they caught in their trawl net and save them for the neighbors to give them away. Those guys, if those guys start doing that, this can be done with us.
I remember when I was before we heard anyway, I was in young at the Nash Harbor, and old people used to catch cod. Mostly they fished cod down there at Nash Harbor when I was a kid. Later on, they getting they keep saying that fewer and fewer, those are cots, and they start complaining about fishermen's boats on the west side of the island, and we don't know who are they. They always say that Japanese fishing down there. It could be Russia. It could be from U.S. Anyway, and I start hunting and with the go with those guys, and we keep seeing those boats in winter, even winter time. Nothing but ice on west southwest. We see lights. A lot of boats down there. And these other guys keep saying that there's Russian people are fishing down there. Sometimes they're talking about Japanese so fishing down there. We don't know who are they, but that's what they could they call them Japanese and Russian people. So anyway, after that I keep hearing that from talkers, and they're kind of low on something like fish. Some years there kind of very few fish came in summer. The same thing with mainlanders back there. Some years very few fish came. Now pretty soon I heard it. They make a 200-mile limit, and then after that, everybody. I heard from some people. They say that after they make a 200-mile limit, they start more and more, and. And I don't know what we hardly seeing those boats out there in the winter time after they make a limit, 200-mile limit, which is good. I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but they hardly. I used to see myself too in the fall time. Close to the island, on west side, fishing boats. Not several of them, but a few boats. But I think they're since that they have to make a 200-mile limit. It seems to me it's more and more coming in, but. Like these guys said, there one area, I know it myself too. They're talking about, we used to have a lot of help, quite a few helmets down out front of the village here. They keep on doing it one area. They're just like scraping the bottom. Same thing. One area, they're fishing gone, now they moved down south. I keep hearing now, very few fish down there now. Halibuts, I'm talking about halibuts. And now it start moving down the west side of this area. One area, they bring quite a few halibuts. Now, I heard it, they start moving souther. They leave that, they quit fishing for that the first and west. Now start moving there. That's why they should keep on very careful for those, even the fishing areas. They should have a move around. Not only halibuts, I think they do. So I just remember that 200 mile limit, so that was helpful, the way I heard from the people, from older people too.
So what years then were you talking when you thought it was Japanese or Russian? When was that?
Years ago, 40s,
40s,
30s.
Back then. Yeah.
Maybe before I born.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's what they.
Yeah, I remember
that. We heard those trawlers, that years when we were young. Mm-hmm. They keep trawling the.
One time, one way and one out, fox hunting on northwest side of the island. That's where when you see a lot of big old ships out there. Mm-hmm. So that's back in 1960s, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Albert, you were saying you've been commercial fishing for 10 years.
I'm the youngest of all these guys here.
Right. What changes have you seen just in that time? You were talking a little bit earlier.
The danger that these guys were talking about is like, yeah, they're right, we're moving now. And I caught a little bit of maybe 2 years of doing big fish, and after that, everything just went down.
Smaller
fish. And we're really well, when I fish, I start moving more. I'll do one here, no fish, I'll move until I find some fish. Other than when I started fishing for subsistence, I just go out there and just anchor anywhere. You know, today we have all modern technology, GPS, fish finder, and you can tell how deep the water is by using technology, and that would be, and you can see the bottom, and if you see a tunnel, you know that's where the fish is going to be. Back then we didn't have anything, we just anchor wherever we wanted to, and we'd still be catching fish. So, the changes that I've really seen in Helbig is the numbers are down, and in the other species, our silver is really way down. So I don't know what's going on, but I know back then too, around growing up, we used to go to the beach and we find all these Japanese things on the coast. You know, when you go beach combing, you find anything. Everything would be all Japanese. But today, our beaches are clean. You don't find nothing. Once in a great while, you'll find an old glass ball. But yeah, the things that I've seen change from compared to these guys, a lot have changed fishing wise. And it's going to be interesting how it's going to be this year too.
You were saying too with the big fish, you were noticing marks.
I think everybody knows that the bigger fish we catch, the more red spots they'll have. Some of them have, you know, big, like a big roar. Mm-hmm. But the smaller ones seem to be clean.
Without any lesions on them. Mm-hmm. Any idea what's causing the lesions?
I heard even the seals too.
On the seals, lesions. No idea what's causing them.
There was some kind of radiation coming in from Japan or somewhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe some over this here and we don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
It's over us right now. Mm-hmm. We're fishing all the way from south, eastern side of Russia, past the Aleutian chain, along over us. Mm-hmm. It's already killing species, birds, seals.
Yeah, I remember there used to be a lot of waters, man.
And that's changed.
Yeah, like you know, map. I mean, thanks to go pick up to like Kapagnik waters. Nani pisulasti maybe awani chik farnit kwatu unnomk nani tamakun pisip you have to go further kwatu tamakup tali kanam chikluki pikuf chiki
mostly here between Nansen Island and Nunivak, whenever there is ice, that's where we usually hunt walrus and even northern part of the island. One time there was hardly any ice, that's when I was a kid. I went out with my dad by wooden boat before these aluminum boats show up. We went toward Nansen Island looking for some ice after a day of hunting. We coming back, we ran into walrus. Far as your eyes could see on the left side, far as your eyes could see on the right side. Couldn't go past them. My dad had to stand up on the chair and start binoculing where it's a little further apart going. And tell me to full bore and pass them.
That's what they used to.
Yeah.
That's what they today used to all the time.
Today you look all over for them and see nothing and come home.
On walrus routing, today, years ago, like what Daniel says, the migrants were between here and the mainland, long time ago. Mm-hmm. I'd say long time ago now, mm-hmm. because he don't go through there no more.
The walrus
go on west, south of the island, mm-hmm. and up. Mm-hmm. It's the, not the only area here you change your route or migrate.
Nelson Island is over here somewhere, and that's the migration route they used to have.
Right.
That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Now they're going through the west part of the island. And down here, that's what he said, from mm-hmm. Nelson Island, going through Etland Strait, he could see the water from one horizon to the other.
They're not doing it around here only. Last meeting I was with the Walrus Commission of the Nome, the St. Lawrence Island, menace at that. We don't see the walrus where it used to be, hanging out. He moved. They changed their route traveling, and they kind of blame the commercial boats in the water, and it might be the food. On them together. So, we're gonna have to start working with Coast Guard. That's what these people are doing. They're working with Coast Guard, Walrus Commission today. Like, trawlers out there, they want to come too close. Somehow, if you can put the patrol boat out there at the time, whenever the satellites do it, that's very good thing to do, I guess. Get a watch truck out there, keep the trawlers out of the mark. Our trawl mark. Or them trawlers are all far out now from the island south or southwest. How far is it? The last
the one that I know of right now is measured from from the village of Kipnuk, it's 20 miles.
It's very close.
Yeah. So what we've been trying to do is, part of this effort is to Nasunay Luku, Tamana, Kituk Luku, Mahmani Supeakafji, my bank na kinuji tiso up to the UI Tuji. The farm maybe Ikayu Yaktu Kashiakital Dam Kuna Kwani, like maybe South Hamspeak of the Kashiakital Dam, very good. Because you know, before and after. Tiumani, maybe in earlier years, prior to maybe 80s, around that time, what was it like as far as commercial fishing for halibut, or what was it like for subsistence hunting and fishing as well? Amakut. That's part of the process. That's what we tamana bit kugu pani kwa ilaka. You know, from your comments, you know, and even over here on South Side, if you guys go further to Isuk, you know, tell that story or prior.
I see on the map there why it's not a straight line on the boundary side. I don't understand that. What can it be straight line? I just put a straight line in.
It's a pretty crooked line.
I think that's something that could be brought to. If it's a straight line, that makes more sense than making a...
Is it because they're going so far out on land? No, I don't know why that would happen.
That's my input.
Well, there's all kinds of players when you start talking about the boundary issues. Fisheries Management Council in 2007 addressed Kakukun Bay. And that's what we're still dealing with. In 2007, they're going to set the lines for Kakukun Bay. You know, with leadership of guys like David Bill, Biluku, you know, what they did was they talked to the council, can the elders work with the industry, in other words, the guys that fish right next to our waters there, the yellowfin bottom trawl boats. There's like five or six companies that operate every spring, and those about six companies equate to maybe up to 20 boats, trawl boats. That are working the area probably 24/7 until they get their quota. And you know, part of this is to, you know, voice our concerns. Hey, you're taking some of my halibut that our fishermen can catch. And you know, not only that, our subsistence. Meeting our subsistence needs, whether it be walrus, bearded seal, asatunaik, tamakut pisutuknabut, even baluka, tamakut pilaknabut piluki, yekunktuk, manna, konkuta, paivusknabut pinirikaniluku, stronger, paivuskabitkiku. You know, need to reduce it here. I think it's true. Haluyani with the Lord.
Of course, yellowfin sole towers. Our yellowfin sole is to the beach on the south side of the island. to the beach. All the young thing sold there on South Island. That's why you're seeing real close to the island here and your front of your area. Because the elephant soul is so close to the beach. A lot of it's here, right to the beach, on southeast side.
My understanding on well, first of all, these gentlemen here indicated that way back when there used to be a lot of halibut and cod where people could go just on the shoreline and fish for those cod, and then with their cat they'd line the beaches with drying cod. Well, I'm one of the younger elders here in the community, but my mother and father used to tell that story where at our fish camp they would throw out a line with the guts from the dock salmon that they catch for drying each summer and catch those cod. During my childhood, I never saw that. And they would talk about cod in our dialect, our Chipik dialect, Antkiak. They'd call them, and in my mind, I'd ask them, Jawat Antkiak, what the heck is a codfish? And they would tell me, oh, they're like tomcod, but they're bigger. And I would picture this tomcod fishing around or swimming around, but never really knew what a cod was until Congress passed a 200-mile fishing limit. And that's when the fish started really coming back. After the 200-mile limit was initiated, the halibut and cod started showing up until such time that all these CDQs came into being, and every one of them is trying to obtain some trawling permits for cod. Now, like somebody else said here, they're throwing all that bycatch overboard, and their thought is that the bycatch should be actually safe for the villages that utilize them. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And then the foreign fishers, they came around Nunavak Island during my childhood. After the 200-mile limit was initiated, they disappeared. Oh, you still hear about CB and VHF, and they're talking away in their own language, and who knows what they're saying. You go over the 200-mile limit, maybe there's more fish there. Who knows what they're saying. And then, like somebody said, the fishing areas, they get depleted, new areas are sought, and then I think our president there indicated that when they first find a new area to fish, the fish are larger, but over time they get smaller and smaller, and pretty soon no more. So I guess one of the questions I wanted to really come up with is, on your findings on these trips to the villages, are those going to be forwarded to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, and then hopefully they'll put regulations in there where they say, you trawlers, if you catch bycatch, make sure you put them in your freezer and then ship them out to McCoyack, addressed to P.O. Box 66, Native Village of McCoyack.
Yeah, the Native Rights Fund is the one who's funding this, and that's what they want to do. They want to use local knowledge to make those arguments. So that's the whole idea of why we're here. But getting back to subsistence, people are still using halibut and fish for subsistence purposes. Are you getting enough every year for your subsistence? Has that changed over the years? You rely less on it now or more on it now?
Because I go down to the south, I get my limit. If I did up, well, let me take that back. I went down 9 miles in September, and just by digging alone, we got over 30. So maybe there, and maybe last summer, I know for at least a couple of years, this area out here where there was no fish, but maybe a couple of summers ago, some guys were fishing out here, and they were starting to catch halibut, so maybe they're moving in, I don't know.
Dora, does your family get enough for subsistence?
I don't.
No. Do you dry the fish still?
Yeah.
Dry cots and halibuts.
And then freeze anything?
What vegetables don't you freeze?
Well, the only reason why I did it is because I use long line.
Oh, okay.
With long line, you can catch, you know, big and fish.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well. I believe this halibut, when you're fishing for halibut, they don't sell 32 inches, less than 32 inches.
Mm.
We got it.
Yeah.
It's released either kept.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them do recently. I was fishing with my nephew on West End of Ireland one time, and we were cleaning the line. I see this strange tail on a halibut, square. And I just never minded, and they were cleaning, and my nephew started cleaning that fish. Says, oh, I let this fish go 4 years ago, and it was 36 inches long. Same spot where he used to keep his little fish. Same spot he caught it after 4 years again, and he kept it. So I believe the little fish, they go back where they feed and grow.
One of the things we had written down was if you had to talk to them, but I think you've already talked about it, the trawling industry, what would you want them to know? But I think you've said that pretty good about trying to get back the other fish that they cast.
And what Phil and Dan were talking about, keeping the fish by catch. The CDQ program, companies are working on this too. Not to throw away what's been caught by catch, to keep it and give it to the neighbors or wherever it could be used without throwing it overboard. They're working on this. I hope we can.
Albert,
come
are you
on.
Involved how to do that?
Pardon?
As a commercial fisherman, have you been involved in any of depends on how you can do that?
No.
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 Okay.
You know, when I see where they're coming from, but when the boat is fishing for something that they're looking for, whatever they catch, it's like we do, some of us, I know they're not the only ones, we all go, ah, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we see a seal, same thing, ah, that's too small, I want a bigger one. So same thing like doing that, but it would be nice though if what they're saying, if they start keeping that fish, you know, put it in a cool place, or, you know, give it to, locals or whatever, that'd be something, because when they catch a fish and they throw it, it's dead.
That's a lot of waste.
Yeah, it is a lot of waste of seafood.
Mm-hmm. Henry?
I just remember I was going to ask Fred, he's old enough to be Noah,
You remember those walrus? I know some of you guys see it. I know Charlie see it. When we were young, even they were old enough. I remember down at Nash Harbor, when from the west wind, they're hardly ice getting looser, and pretty soon the ice came in. The wallows are different, a little bit different than what we have it out here nowadays. Those are not very bigger than those wallows. The wallows has the tusks grown outward and green hands, and their lips are green, and their feet, those kind of dark, not kind of red, but kind of dark wallows. Those old people always say that from the west wallows, Chukmukan Pishuni Luki, not like the swimmers out here. There are two different kind of wallows. I seen it myself. Yeah, the Maguktamakuta, their tusks go outward. They're not very big. I know they're not long either, the tusks. These are kind of dangerous because they know they got tusks. They like to fight easy, get mad easy. So that's what they used to tell us when we were grow up. The old people used to tell us. Now, I don't know when now, but never seen those before. Never. I never seen any more. Only those wallers are Crystal Bay wallers. They always come around. I just remember that I was going to blast out earlier, but I forgot all about it. I don't know what you probably heard about what happened. Where those things are, the wallers.
Our walrus that I know of, they come through from
what kind?
Crystal Bay.
Yeah.
Muddy water.
Charlie, probably, maybe Daniel knows it too. Those kind of dark, their lips are green, their hands are green.
Is there walrus hot rocks in Japan?
Russia, for sure.
Where this walrus come from? Where the west
China.
Walrus
is
iceberg. What can you say? They're different than the ones that go migrate to. Well, I don't
know. What about like this time of the year? Are the walrus staying like year round or what? I'm talking that just about practically all winter they've been around.
Your area, yeah. I noticed they are almost year round. Not many, but there is year round in your area. And, but not around here, no.
Well, because they go by ice.
But one year,
it's when I elevate. Don't you know that they die?
Once spring. A bit while you see one in summertime. One kind of thing.
But one year there was they hollowed on the ground here and there. I don't know why. Fall time. Started from summer. When you come upon the ground and they pull up muddy in some places. Did you get that one year?
Have you noticed a change in the walrus? Have the numbers gone down? Are they still at the same amount?
No.
Same?
Numbers are way down.
Way down.
We were talking about that was used to be thousands.
That's just a fact. down because they're going around the other side of the island and maybe people don't see them as much, or I wonder if that's...
What's that?
You're saying before they used to come down this side of the island, uh-huh. Now they're going up the other side of the island.
No, west side.
West side of the island.
Oh, well, south side.
I'm gonna have to call
him.
I've gotta bring my
wife
to
Kenya. I gotta get you the sunny side the first thing. We have a table, Daniel. My wife, well, put it on the pump. Here, on the island, the people here are don't charge over what you need on species like fish and seal. They just enough that we wouldn't waste or we probably get caught in the family needs for a year.
And you're successful at doing that, Mr.
Dora? Is there that if the global warming that could be affecting the... I know we had a very strange winter too here. The ice is not as thick as it's done before. from where I heard that the ice is getting newer, maybe due to global warming, or what I know global warming has a lot to do with weather affecting every... Our winds are getting stronger in the fall.
Is it warmer than water, making different fish live this way?
Ocean level is rising.
Is it?
Right now. Yeah.
Water.
Break water down here, all time big ocean waves, you know, they splash over that ocean, breaker, you know.
Even over the seawall.
Later in the year?
Well, yeah, depends on whether the way people are coming. But from, you know, you hear from different people, I can give like different people. Even when you go by boat, nowadays, back then, you could go to any island, just pull up your feet and cut. Now, today, we have to look around to find a good place to
put up a
field,
nice.
Yeah, otherwise you just crumble.
I'm getting this information from National Geographic magazine about global rising, high ocean, you know. And they say, you know, ocean level will rise because of melting ice from Greenland, from our mountains, and from South Pole. Someday ocean level will rise 216 feet. It's more than our land claims, you know. More than our land claims. We will have no more land clams no more. They'll be underwater. We have to plan for that.
So maybe hopefully this is, you got pretty much all the information that you guys wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Been hour and 15 minutes.
You're getting sleepy.
You're getting sleepy.
Yeah.
How about thank everybody? Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yes.
You did not attend the Sorban Fisher meeting?
Yes. I'm not in salmon business. I'm in health business.
Salmon is even better than that.
But you guys do salmon too. You guys need to send this guy. He a voice.
My production?
Yeah, I like that.
The rules I heard was they want to cut coho or the king salmon, or Tuxedo area or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rumor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's never been a fishery. How can they cut anything?
Well, that seems sound. It's a few salmon from Tuxer every year. That's good up to you.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Joy.
You
do.
Yeah,
we have to do a
point.
So you're from the University of Fairbanks?
Don't come summertime.
Are you working with those
probably
people
in the fall
that sample
time.
Food?
We're
no.
Plenty.
What are they?
From
there.
Oh,
they come to the village and sample food.
Are they testing it for the chemicals?
No, that's not. Like O'Brien, what's his first?